Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle talking some Penn State football for the next hour. Coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. The last show we will do before the first National Signing Day. So, of course, we're going to discuss that a little bit. We have some news to tackle first, coming from Penn State Citrus Bowl Media Day. Also, a couple little recruiting odds and ends to touch on that are outside of National Signing Day. We'll do Ask Greg coming up a little bit later. Your questions for Greg Pickle. If you don't know already, use the Keystone Sports app. Fire off a question that way. Jeff Brown will join us to round out the show, talking some Penn State hoops. An interesting time to talk about Pat Chambers' team. For now, we're talking football. And before we get into recruiting, a little housekeeping to tend to on the roster. Braylon Faison Walton. I thought the timing of this was interesting, considering we just brought him up as a shining example of a hybrid linebacker safety. We just weren't sure if it was going to work out or not. Now we know. He is transferring to Charlotte. He's from North Carolina originally. He was a three-star safety slash linebacker from Greensboro, North Carolina. Will transfer to Charlotte to be closer to home. I guess he's got some family stuff going on. So you certainly can't blame the kid for that. You wish him the best. He redshirted last year. Played in one game this season, wasn't in Penn State's immediate plans.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, he mentions family health issues as part of the reason he'll be transferring out of Penn State. I think, obviously, there was a playing time component that at least had to be in the back of his mind, if nothing else, as well. I mean, this goes back, Dustin, to exactly what we talked about last week with these guys that come in and you don't necessarily have a position for them. And ultimately, it comes down to how long is it going to take you to find a position for them? Because if it does take a while, or, you know, you can't, you know, you start molding them for one spot and then they move to another spot, or they can't play this, so they have to go play that. I mean, it's, and then you're too far down the road, you basically have to, you know, break them down and build them back up again. So I think that was a tough situation for both he and Braylon Franklin, two guys that came into this program as classmates and really in the same boat in terms of, you know, Brent Pry saying, well, could be a linebacker, could be a safety in the end. They could ended up, you know, neither ended up being an option for Penn State really on the field.
And I think it's interesting, no disrespect to Braylon Faison Walton, certainly, but when you come in without a true position, you know, there's always that, is he both positions or is he neither position?
Right.
And so you always have that dialogue. And it's one of the issues, I guess, with going this kind of hybrid route that Penn State has opted to do in a few different ways. Cornerback slash safety that you've seen transition from to and from those positions. Safety slash linebacker, you know, defensive end slash defensive tackle. I think Penn State has largely had success with guys that were somewhere in between. Kevin Givens would be a good shining example of that also. But, you know, at this position, at linebacker for sure, you know, when you need 3-4 years of development time before you can hopefully get 1 to 2 years of playing time, and they're bringing in really good linebackers in some waves now, mm-hmm. What can happen is, and I don't know if this was in the process of happening or not, it sure looked like it was, is that you, when you're a guy like this, you can get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, I mean, it's really easy, too, with the way Penn State's been recruiting of late, that if you don't grab a hold of a position and really make it yours, or at least make your spot yours, yeah, you are probably going to get passed over or not go up the depth chart maybe as quickly as you would like. So, at any rate, it opens up a scholarship for Penn State to use now moving forward, whether it's in the class of 19 or somewhere further down the road.
And this is that unexpected attrition that from the outside looking in, I'm sure Penn State has some clues about some of these things. That James Franklin will know enough to know which of his guys, for example, are unhappy there or considering a change or considering leaving for the NFL. There are things that he knows that we don't, but It's an interesting dynamic when you're trying to juggle roster numbers, which can be a complex equation when you're looking 1, 2, 3, 4 years out on the horizon. And you know that attrition will happen. You just don't know where it's going to come from. And this was another example of that. You didn't all the way know where it was going to come from.
Yeah. So, I mean, you look at it five to seven, I think, is the average number of guys that'll leave a program at the end of any given season, whether it's because of academics, playing time, NFL draft, what have you, so on and so forth. The list can go on and on and on. So any time a guy leaves with eligibility left, you're typically factoring 5 to 7 guys in. Sometimes you have more leave, sometimes you'll have less, but that's generally your ballpark, and it's what the program uses to be able to project how many guys you can sign in each recruiting class.
We have some more non-recruiting stuff to circle back to. A lot of it coming from Citrus Bowl Media Day, where we heard from James Franklin, we heard from Ricky Ronnie, which was interesting, I thought. Just to give you a little heads up on today, we're recording this before, and you're listening to this probably before Ja'Kai Moore, who's a 4-star offensive lineman from Virginia, will announce at 3:30 p.m., you said, right?
Double-checked.
3 p.m. So maybe as you're listening to this, he will be announcing. Don't stop listening to go check catch the announcement. He's choosing between South Carolina and Penn State, and it sure is looking like South Carolina is trending up here, that Penn State might not be in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, there's two things you don't want the morning of a recruitment. You don't want the 247 Sports crystal ball to start going against you, and you don't want Mike Farrell from Rivals writing that he thinks South Carolina is going to be the pick. I mean, those are about two of the worst things you could have on the morning of an announcement, because that outlet and that analyst are both very plugged into the recruiting season. So, yeah, I mean, look, we'll see what happens today. But at the end of the day, in my mind, this was always a possibility, because as we've talked about before, you thought Ja'Kai Moore would be committed to Penn State by now. And the fact that he is not committed to Penn State yet always was a cause for pause, always was a reason to step back and say, what is this guy looking for that he hasn't seen yet? Or what does he need to see from Penn State to finally pull the trigger? The fact that he never did was probably not good news for Penn State. Now it looks like it might ultimately not work out in the end.
Penn State still 3 offensive linemen in the class. You did see the offer out to the kid from Indianapolis last week, so it seems like Penn State's got 4 in mind along the offensive line. I'm not sure if they'll get there or not. We'll see what happens in the next couple of days. Saleem Wormley, Anthony Wigan, and Caden Wallace are your 3, which that's a pretty good group of 3. You have a true tackle in Anthony Wigan, who's coming from the junior college ranks, who should theoretically be able to help you sooner than later. Caden Wallace listed as a guard, but he's 6'5", 300 pounds. I think he can play tackle. Saleem Wormley, more of a guard through and through. So you do have a little diversity in the prospects there, and they are good players already. So it's not a panic situation. Of course, you'd like to have Ja'Kai Moore, though. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking Penn State football. Penn State recruiting segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com. They're giving you the best deal of the season right now, maybe the best deal ever of all time. Purchase a gift card or credit with GoPSURV.com. They will double its value. It's like getting your next RV at rental for 50% off. Contact them today for more details. 1-800-519-8467. That offer ends December 31st, 2018. I view it like National Signing Day. This is the early signing period. There are benefits to getting there early, enrolling early, but it doesn't mean that you can't sign later. GoPSURV.com. Be an, wow, an early enrollee.
What, that was,
you like
impressive.
That?
Yeah.
You like that?
That
all
was
right.
Good. Yeah.
Jim missed the whole thing. It was for him.
Yeah.
So along
maybe
the
next time.
Along the recruiting lines, and speaking of offensive linemen, Penn State hosted a 2019 Ohio State commit by the name of Doug Nestor over the weekend. Anything concrete, or maybe just some due diligence? You know, the Ohio State vibe is of a little uncertainty right now. So anytime you have that, you got a shot. But I didn't think much of it.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that obviously to get a kid committed to another Big Ten school on campus is a nice opportunity. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's hard to see Penn State flipping Doug Nestor. Now, look. He is going to wait to sign until February, or at least we believe that's the case. So who knows what will happen? Because I thought Alex Gleiderman, I believe it is, from 247 Sports, had a really good article on Saturday morning that basically, you know, unpack the uncertainty surrounding the Ohio State football program. And what it comes down to in his mind, and it makes a lot of sense when you stop and think about it, is no one knows. So Ryan Day takes over this Ohio State program officially after the Rose Bowl. What's he going to do with his staff? You know, he has some guys out there from previous jobs that he really likes, really wants to work with, really wants to bring in.
Or it might not be his choice.
Well, that too, right. Okay. And then some guys could also want to leave. You know, some Ohio State assistants could say, well, I'm sure that not, this is just speaking hypothetically, they could say, I hate this guy. I don't want to work with him. I came here to work for Coach Meyer, not for Coach Day. So they could leave too. So there's a lot of uncertainty, and they can't get a resolution on that for a while. So the commits like Nestor might start to look around. Penn State, at the very least, gets a win by getting him on campus. Whether there's anything to that, we'll see.
You get them on campus, you have a shot. And for Penn State, they've been pretty good in those situations. Let's talk about the Citrus Bowl just a little bit. A few of the comments that were made on Penn State's media day for this. I'm going to start with the Ricky Ronnie discussing the idea of criticism. And basically, it seems to be his position that the vocal minority are the ones out there on the message boards, lighting up Twitter, all that stuff. I think usually that's fair to say. I also think that dissatisfaction is fair. I also think, at the same time, pinning it all on Ricky Ronnie is probably a little unfair, because any play caller's plays would look worse when he's got guys who are having trouble catching the ball, for example.
Yeah.
Then you know, even before you can start to sort that out and work that out, Trace McSorley gets banged up late in the year. A lot of change, a lot of different stuff. It's way too early to say that Ricky Ronnie deserves all the criticism here. I think maybe a little.
Yeah, I think a little. There's no question. I mean, this, I sort of go back to this sort of roundabout argument, chicken and the egg kind of deal with the Eagles. I mean, you look at the Eagles this year, and is it Doug Peters? Obviously, they just beat the Rams, and the play calling looked fairly good. But who was the problem the last, you know, 6 weeks? Was it Doug Peterson? Was it Carson Wentz? Was it a mixture? Was it the guys they brought in to replace the assistants that left? And in Penn State's case, what do you assign the most blame? Trace McSorley's injury, Ricky Ronnie's ineffective play calling, you know, the fact that maybe the offensive line hasn't always been as great this year as we thought it was going to be, drop passes, wrong routes, you know, not really, not that it's really been an issue, but no real effective backup behind Miles Sanders. I mean, it's not just Ricky Ronnie that is the sole and only reason why this program, you know, was what it was on offense. So I don't know. I think that there's certainly some perspective needed, but there's also no question they need to have a good Citrus Bowl.
I thought it was also interesting, James Franklin talking about guys leaving early for the NFL. He hasn't having those conversations. He said that he told Saquon Barkley after his sophomore year that he should leave after his junior year, which is good. Christian Hackenberg, Chris Godwin, Donovan Smith. I think Deion Barnes left a year early. I'm looking at guys who left early under James Franklin's watch. And really, for the most part, James Franklin has put some good players in the NFL to this point. We'll see what guys like Miles Sanders. I don't know why Juwan Johnson, why we're talking about that, but we'll see.
Yeah, I was a little bit confused about that as well. But at any rate, Miles Sanders has to decide. Sharif Miller has to decide. Connor McGovern, I thought, maybe left the door cracked open a tiny bit during his media day session. So I don't know, Dustin. We'll see. It guarantees you this. There certainly will be no lack of excitement a couple days after the Citrus Bowl.
That's good for you, buddy. Uh-huh. Good for you. Keep you on your toes a little bit. We're moving on here. National Signing Day is creeping up on Wednesday. We're going to do a little Signing Day primer. Stick around. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.